Okay, we have to Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah here goes back to the case that we were talking about, the case of a non-Kohen woman who brought Tzon Barzel slaves, right? Tzon Barzel slaves, again, are if you remember, the slaves that she brings into the marriage, that basically the husband, he takes ownership of them, so that, in essence, what happens is, if the marriage were to end, he pays the woman for the price of the slave when she entered the marriage. And so let's say the slave was worth $20, whatever. So he owes her $20. That means if the slave passed away while they were married, then he is still liable to pay her $20, so he could lose. Or if the slave value went up to $40 when they were married, then he still pays $20, and he gets an extra $20 out of that deal. So that's the case we're talking about over here, where this non-Kohen woman brought Tzon Barzel slaves into a marriage with a Kohen. And so now says the Mishnah as follows. Bas Yisrael Shenises LaKohen. If the daughter of Yisrael marries a Kohen, good. Umis, and the Kohen dies and he leaves over sons. V'inicha mu'beres. And not only does he have sons, but he also left her pregnant. Then lo yochlu avadeha batruma. So that Tzon Barzel slaves, as we said, that Tzon Barzel slaves do get to eat from the truma in a case like this normally. Let's say he was alive and all was well. So, but in this situation, when he dies and he leaves her pregnant, then lo yochlu avadeha batruma. Then that Tzon Barzel slaves cannot eat of his truma. Why? Mipnei chelko shel ubar, because the fetus has some share in them if he is a male. So, to explain very, very simply, although this is quite complex, we'll explain somewhat simply. When it comes down to it, the fetus, if it's a girl, then it has no share in the slaves that are alive. If it is a boy, then it does have a share in the slaves that are alive. And if that's the case, that it is a boy, then since it has a share in the slaves, we have to understand what the status of this boy fetus is. And there is an idea, as we'll see, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi believes that the fetus status, while the mom is pregnant, if she's a non-Kohen, then the fetus is going to not be considered a Kohen until it's actually born. So while it's a fetus, it has ownership over the slaves because it was the fetus of the Kohen, but since it's not a Kohen yet, and it itself would not be able to eat truma, therefore the Tzon Barzel slaves also are not allowed to eat truma, says the Mishnah. Sha'ubar posel. We know that the fetus is basically not considered fully, anyways, the father's child, because the fetus actually disqualifies the mother from eating truma if she is a Kohen's daughter who married a non-Kohen. So, in other words, what's the situation? The Bas Kohen, who was normally allowed to eat truma, she marries a man, and then she gets pregnant, and then the husband dies, and this man was not a Kohen, so as long as she is pregnant with this kid, so seemingly indefinitely afterwards, she is not allowed to eat truma anymore. So this fetus can disqualify her from eating truma, and therefore can also disqualify these slaves from eating truma as well, in the case that we just said above. And continues the Mishnah, Be'ino Machil, but it does not entitle the mother to eat truma if she is a non-Kohen who married a Kohen, right? So, in other words, if the case was that she was not a Bas Kohen, but she marries a Kohen, and you'll say, oh, great, so he passed away, but she has a fetus in her womb, and so maybe she has the right, therefore, to eat from Truma. So, no, the Truma disqualifies her in the case that we just said, but it does not enable her, if she is a non-Kohen who married a Kohen. If she has a fetus, she is not allowed to eat Truma while the fetus is in her womb. That does not make her have this truma eligibility status because of the fetus, so therefore she cannot eat of the truma, and because again the fetus itself does not have full Kohen status yet. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi. Says the Chachamim further, Amrullah, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yossi, Me'achar shehei adeta lanu al bas Yisrael l'kohen, now that you have told us, you ruled that when it comes to the Kohen of a Yisraelis, when it comes to rather to the daughter of a Yisraelis who marries a Kohen who dies, that her Tzon Barzel slaves can't eat truma because of the fetus is share in the slaves. Af bas Kohen the Kohen, so too, even when it comes to the Kohen's daughter, who was married to a Kohen, Umeis, and he left
sons, v'nicha muberes, and she was also left pregnant, lo yochlu avadem batruma. That some Barzal saves even a nakiyas kidney truma, right? Even if everyone is a Kohen, she's a Kohen and he's a Kohen, right? She was born into a Kohen family and she married into a Kohen family. Still lo yochlu avadem batruma. The stone Barzal slaves should not be able to eat truma. Why? Because of the fetus is sharing the slaves. And meaning we don't know the status of the ubar. We don't know the status. The status of the ubar is that it is not a kohen yet, just like you said previously. And therefore, since it has a partial share in the tzon barzel, they should not be able to eat of the truma. So the chum says, so you should be a little more machmir, Rabbi Yossi. Unclear exactly if that's the opinion of the chachamim or if they're just saying that you should be go the full way to Rabbi Yossi. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yossi actually disagrees, as the commentary over here explains that he says that if the fetus was in the womb of a Bas Kohen, then and she's married to a Kohen, then the fetus is actually considered a Kohen, and therefore they would be able to do the truma. It was only the case when she wasn't a Bas Kohen and she marries a Kohen. Okay, that was Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet now lists several more cases in which something can, just like the fetus, can disqualify a woman from eating truma, but it cannot entitle her to eat truma, like we just explained. So too, this Mishnah will give now a list of all those things that can disqualify her from eating truma, but will not entitle her to eat truma. Says the Mishnah, so, ha'ubar, first is the fetus in the woman's womb, and there are actually a few cases where this might be the case, but a fetus in a woman's womb, that can entitle a woman to eat truma, but it can, that can disqualify a woman from eating truma, but it cannot entitle her to eat truma. V'ayavim, and if her husband passes away in a certain situation, and the yavim fell to her, so the yavim can disqualify her from eating truma, but it cannot entitle her to eat truma. So just to go over at least one of the cases, that if a non-Kohen, let's say, marries a Kohen's daughter and she dies without any children, so her yibam bond with the yavam, who is also a non-Kohen, that will basically disqualify her from eating truma, but she will not be entitled to eat truma in another case where the tables might be turned. Veha irusin, and being engaged to a woman that will that can again disqualify her from eating truma, but it cannot entitle her from eating any truma. Ve'achirish, and so too, if a woman is married to someone who is a deaf mute, someone who can neither hear nor speak, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's not a valid marriage, whereas Chazal say that it is a valid marriage, so it's a rabbinic marriage, but not a Torah marriage. So if she's married to a chirish, so in some situations that can disqualify her from eating truma, but it can never entitle her from eating truma. Uven tisha shanim v'yom echad, let's say she's with a boy who is 9 years and 1 day old, meaning he's reached his 9th birthday, and he has relations with her. Let's say this was like a forbidden act. He was someone who was forbidden to her. So in that situation, let's just explain that last case a little bit more. We recognize the act of cohabitation that a boy has with a woman if the boy is age 9 and on. So if she has relations with this 9-year-old boy who was forbidden to her, then he can disqualify her from the kahuna. And it's basically no different if she would have had relations with an adult who's forbidden to her, when the law is that she would be disqualified from eating truma. On the other hand, let's say the daughter of Yisrael has relations with a 9-year-old Kohen for purposes of marriage. So again, he doesn't entitle her to eat truma. So this is a situation where she can be entitled to so this is again a situation where she can be disqualified from eating truma, but she will not be entitled to eat truma from this. So again, Postlin says the Mishnah all disqualify her from eating truma, but none of these cases entitle her to eat truma ever. Says the Mishnah further, a few cases to conclude this Mishnah of cases of doubt. Says the Mishnah, Safik shu ben teisha shanim v'yom echad safik she'eino. If there's a doubt whether the boy is 9 years old and 1 day old or not, right? We're not sure how old he is, and it's uncertain whether this is a totally cohabitation, so he still would disqualify her from eating truma, right? So in other words, so let's say he was 8 years old, when we're sure that he's 8 years old in such a situation, then he cannot disqualify her from eating truma. But if we're in a doubt over whether he's 9 years old, then he still will disqualify her from eating truma, like in the case that we said above. And then furthermore, suffic hevi shtei saros suffic lo hevi. Let's say there's a doubt whether a boy who's over the age of 13, who was Mekadesh, a woman, and he had, and so there's a doubt whether or not he had already grown the two saros, the two hairs that make him adult, or if he had, he had not grown them. There's a doubt if he had grown them. So it's uncertain whether the full a betrothal was a valid one, so in such a situation he still can disqualify her. So meaning, even after a boy reaches his 13th birthday, he still isn't considered an adult, and his marriage is not going to be valid until he grows these two saros. So the Mishnah is basically teaching that if it's a non-Kohen boy who reaches the age of 13 and he betrothed the Kohen's daughter, and we're not sure whether the boy had reached the adulthood or not, we have to still be strict and say that she cannot eat of the truma, because we have to assume that maybe it was a valid kiddushin. So this Bas Kohen cannot eat of the truma, because again, we're not sure if it's a valid marriage. And then finally, now that we're talking about doubts, we're going to have one more case over here of doubt that seems to be a little bit irrelevant, but the idea is that it's just another case of a suffix regarding a yibum that we should be strict in. So it says the Mishnah, Nafal habayas alav ve'al bas achiv. Let's say a house fell on a man and on his brother's daughter to whom this man was married to. So a husband and a wife were killed, and a husband and wife were killed, and it happens to be that this husband and wife pair, the woman was the daughter of this man's brother. So brother A and brother B, brother A dies, and brother A is also married to brother B's daughter, and this daughter dies as well. So in this such a situation, when the house fell on these people, and killed both of them, and then yadua eze meis rishon, and we don't know who dies first. Sarasa choletzis v'lomis yabemes. If there's a co-wife in this situation, if brother A had a co-wife, then the co-wife gets chalitza, but not yibim. So what's the case over here to explain it a little bit better? So if the dead wife, that's the niece, right, that is the daughter of brother B, if she dies before her husband, then he wasn't married to her at the time that he dies, and only it was her co-wife that was married, so she then would need yibum or chalitza. But if the husband dies first, then he was still married to the niece, to the daughter, when he dies, so then the co-wife then the co-wife is actually going to be forbidden to the surviving brother, and so therefore we have to be strict, because we don't know who died first, so he's not allowed to do yibum with her, and he needs to do chalitza to her to free so that she can be free to marry others. All right, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Dalet. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Hey, but for now we'll stop right here. Again, there's a lot more that we didn't necessarily explain in specific that it's probably worthwhile to go back at some point, but that was just the basic bekiyas as we usually try to do. And so for now, we will stop right here. Everyone have a great Shabbos.